Welcome to the Freedom Friends Show, where we introduce you to all of the different techniques that you can take in order to make more freedom friends. Those who either help you get clients, support you with your clients, or those who just simply help you achieve some level of freedom in your life or business.
Well, thank you. I'm very fast. Thank you, Dre, for coming on to the Freedom Friends Show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, we met, I know we met on Facebook. That's like my favorite place to meet people. I saw ourselves up like there's some bomb folks. But I don't remember where. I don't remember which Facebook group we met in. It had to have been something related to coaching.
Absolutely. Actually, it was the Coaches Need Each Other group. Okay. I don't know what the name of it is, but our little space.
Yeah, but I feel like there was that, you know, because I feel like we met before then.
We did. Well, girl, you know, I feel like I know you a long time.
I know, right? I'm looking now, and it's actually been a year.
Oh, wow. Happy anniversary to us.
Right? Happy anniversary. So, okay, we were just talking about how you initially started your coaching program offline. How did you get into coaching, period?
Well, it's a very serendipitous story. You know how when you just, something is for you and you just get led to it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really how that started, because before that, I was actually a public school teacher. Hmm. And I taught fifth grade, which I love my kids, but, you know, I could really do without the Board of Ed and all of the red tape that goes along with it. So mm-hmm. even now, currently, like, I consult in schools, but I don't work for the Board of Ed. I just can't do it anymore. But long story short, I had written a book, and that book was called God is a Woman, 7 Keys to Self-Love and Empowerment for Women. And that was my first book. And at the time, I don't know if you remember, I mean, because that was about 10 years ago. My son is 10 now, so that's how I know how long it was, because I was pregnant with him when I wrote it. And coaching wasn't really a popular industry at the time. It was still a baby, and mm-hmm. there was still, you know, not a lot of people who really knew what that was. But I belonged to this group on tribe.net. I'll never forget it. And I had asked people to read the book and give me a review so I could put it on Amazon and all of that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And a woman reviewed it for me and wrote me back. And she was like, you know what? You should be a life coach, because that's what I do. And you're already doing that, because that's what the book was. It was a self-help book, you know, complete with a journal and exercises and all that stuff. But I wasn't aware that there was a way to get paid to do that. I just wanted to write the book because I had gone through, you know, a lot of different things in my life. And a lot of my friends had already, I had already been that person to them where they could come and ask me and I get them my perspective. You know, I'm really good at being unbiased. So they were already coming to me. And then, you know, because of the type of things that they were going through versus the type of things that I had gone through and what I learned about myself and about loving myself. Through that journey, I said, you know what, I'm going to write it as a book, because if they're all coming to me and asking me, it would be such a, you know, treasure to be able to say, well, here, have this book. And, you know, whatever I would say to them in person, they could have it as a book to keep and to really, like, you know, delve into. So that's why I wrote the book. But once that woman told me that I could be a coach and that there was a way to get paid to do what I was doing, I was like, well, why am I doing the teaching again? I love teaching, but I don't love the Board of Education.
I know.
Exactly. And so once she told me about it and she was like, you have to get certified. And after that, I mean, you could basically create a whole entire practice. I was like, well, you don't need to tell me twice. I found the one that matched me and matched what I was looking for, which was the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching.
Oh, and perfect. I don't think I know about you.
You did? Yeah. Girl, did you go there too?
No, I went through Institute for Life Coach Training, but when I first started learning about coaching and coaching certifications, and I feel like that might have been 07, iTech was one of the ones that I looked at, because I think that was one of the first coach training programs, right?
Yep, like three, absolutely.
Like three big ones, I feel like, and I definitely remember iTech was one of them.
Yeah, they definitely were, because even at that time when it wasn't such a popular industry, like, they were already, like, they're everywhere. They're all over the country at this point. And what I really loved about them, I like that there was that, like we were talking about off air, that personal connection. They had a lot of modules where we were with the people in our classes. Even to this day, like, I'm friends with a lot of the people who I graduated with 10 years ago. One of them came to my birthday party the other day. You know, like, so they really make sure to foster that culture, but it helped also with the training, because we, you know, we were with each other. So it wasn't, we had the phone part and we did coaching over the phone, and we had, you know, our little groups where we coached each other and all of that good stuff. But the magic was really in being in front of each other, being with each other, and creating that space for each other. So it was really an awesome experience. I recommend it to anybody, but that really catapulted my coaching business, because that's when I knew that I was doing what I was meant to be doing.
Okay, so since you brought up iTech, which is an ICF approved training program, let's talk about that.
Sure.
I mean, because there are literally 1,000,003 coaches out here.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about where they were trained, the credentialing that they have, the type of training they've received, you know, I have found there's a stark difference between those of us who receive training from an ICF program
mm-hmm.
and those of us who did not.
Absolutely. And
what's your
perspective on? I agree. Like, I've seen it. And, you know, let me say it this way. I will say it depends on what a person is looking for in a coach, whether or not it would matter to them. There's definitely a difference. If you want to be a coach, I recommend being trained by an ICF approved program, because there's just certain things that you will not know. You don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
unless it's brought out, and, you know, you will feel safer as the client. I feel you will feel safer with someone who's trained. But there are people who, because people call themselves coaches and they're not coaches. They're more like a teacher or a mentor.
Consultant. Yeah.
You know, right. Or consultant. It's different. It's definitely a different modality. And great coaches can toggle between many different modalities. But a great mentor or teacher can't necessarily be a great coach. And in fact, that is so true, to the point where that's what I consult with teachers on. Is basically I'm giving them the mindset of a coach to bring into the classroom, because it's different. And that really makes a big difference in creating high performance in students and motivation for them to hit the goals that they want. It's the same thing. Those little people are your clients, and you're trying to get them from point A to point B, but it's not as simple as just writing on the board and saying, today we're going to learn how to multiply, especially if the child doesn't care, you know. So there's a difference. It's a big difference. And a lot of people who call themselves coaches today are just really great teachers. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's all you want. Like, if you really just want someone to tell you, okay, I wrote a book and this is how you write the book in 90 days, great. Maybe you don't need to be a great coach for that. You just need to be a great teacher and teach somebody how to write a book. But when it comes to the breakdowns and the things that happen in between you writing that book and getting it done, you know, and feeling like, yeah, you know, and feeling like you're in the space of someone who holds open that door for you to step through, you know, in a way that takes care of you, you know, that is a completely different a can of worms. And a lot of people don't realize that. And I really wish that there was a way where the ICF could more what's the word, kind of put a handle on it, kind of like everybody can't call themselves a therapist unless they have a license. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, like, and I wish that they would do that, because, you know, it takes away from the, from what people actually experience as a certified coach. And it doesn't take a lot to get certified, but a lot of people can get away with not being certified because, you know, it's not regulated. You could just put any, today, you could put something online and be like, I'm a coach, and this is what I do. And people are like, oh, okay, great. Because now coaching is like all the rage. Everybody knows what that is. And everybody either wants a coach or wants to be. Right, right. They think they know. And they either want to be a coach or they want to be coached. And then there's those people with the gray area who could care less. But, you know, for the most part, it's like it's a big thing now. It's very saturated, in my opinion. Yeah. So it's so many, you know, well, but.
And, you know, I like, so I see, you know, I've got this Libra energy, right? And so I see both sides of it. On one hand, right, you've got all of these people who are calling themselves coaches. And so people are becoming more familiar with the word. Whereas 10 mm-hmm. years ago, it was like, coach, what? What is that?
Yep. I thought she was asking me to coach basketball.
Exactly. So there was skepticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was like it was lack of knowledge. Well, now there's a bit of skepticism, but I feel like the skepticism is more so, oh, I know what that is. I don't need that sort of help.
Right.
So, but on the flip side, I feel like now at least people are at least open to the idea. It's not like, I don't know what that is. I don't trust you because I don't know what that is. Now it's more of a, well, I'm not sure I need that because the last coach that I worked with wasn't mm-hmm. good quality. So now it's right. almost like it's now on the coach's heart to say, oh, well, come to this free workshop I got so you can see how I coach or what right. coaching looks like for me.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you don't have to try as hard.
Right, right. And I'm glad that you said this too, because I think a lot of people are afraid to, you know, to give, especially in this industry, if you're just starting out and you, you know, like maybe, okay. But people really are, and it people kind of feel like, okay, like I have to charge for my services. How do I get people to buy this thing that I'm doing, or, you know, how do I sell it? But the easiest way, at least what I found, because I've done it both ways, and what works most by far is the amount that you give for free out of your heart
Absolutely.
And out of... You know, because one, like you said, people will get to know you, get to see how you coach, you know, what you can actually do for them that they didn't know they even needed done. And secondly, it gives you an opportunity to, one, continue to practice your craft, even in the face of, you know, not necessarily getting paid right that moment. But, you know, whatever, because you're going to have a program that you're going to sell, likely. And people will sign up for it. But most people, it's just like us. Like, a lot of times, we're not going to just buy something just because, you know, somebody told us to buy it, especially if it doesn't cost $20. Right. You know, like, if you're talking about, you know, a coaching package, and that's like a couple of grand just off the bat, you know, or even if it's just a workshop and you want somebody to pay $200 to go to a workshop, you know, they need to know what's in it for them.
Yeah. I mean, we have to start, and I think that's something that I say all the time. You have to equate coaching to getting married, right?
Mm-hmm.
You really want to build the relationship. And
right.
I like free stuff because I've noticed for myself from a coach standpoint, when it's free, I don't feel like I have to live up to anybody's expectations. I don't have to pretend like I'm somebody I'm not. I don't have to do, you know, move into a lane that's not really my own. Like, I feel a lot more comfortable saying, let me get back to you on it when I'm not being paid. When somebody is paying me, I feel like a responsibility to know everything. And I feel like a practice, like you said, I'm honing my practice. And I'm practicing, and I'm getting to know if I even want to work with you.
Right.
Because when there's no
really
money
important.
Involved, yes!
Yeah.
When there's no money involved, oh, we get to see the real each other.
Exactly. Right now. And that's true. And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because for real, like, that's a, like, I have taken clients, you know, just on the strength of, you know, I feel like I have to have money. This is primarily what I do. Granted, you know, I still do teach after school. I teach musical theater and dance because, like I said, I love the kids. I just didn't love the Board of Education. So a couple of days out of the week, you know, I still do that, but that's not my primary money, you know? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you could find yourself in a place where you're like, you know what, I need to take this client because, you know, things is tight, gotta pay the rent. But right. You end up shooting yourself in the foot because at the end of the day, you know, this person wasn't a good fit. And like you said, you're trying to you're doing it because also, you know, this person paid and they expect a certain result. That's great. But sometimes personalities don't resonate with each other. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, no matter what you do, you know, that person may not get the optimal result working with you. You know, just exactly. based on how you resonate with each other, and you have to be able to, you know, as coaches, you know, we have to abide by the same type of rules that we want to give our clients in terms of, you know, being committed to something but not being attached to it. And a lot of times we get stuck with being attached to the money, you yes. know, to the point where yes. it becomes about that more than it becomes about, you know, how can I serve you? And if I can't serve you in the way that you need to be served, then I get absolutely. To let it go and be okay with that.
Absolutely. And I, you know what? I honestly feel like that process is what you learn in an ICF approved program.
Yeah.
Is because absolutely. It's the, like, even if you don't, even if you aren't consciously aware of it, there is a process. Like, it happens over a period of time. And right. over that period of time, If you are doing it correctly, then you're building relationships with people. Well, and let me full disclosure, that's actually one of my gripes with coaching programs. They're not telling you to get out there and go host a workshop at your church while right. you're going through the program so that you can be building those relationships at the same time as you're right. learning. You know what I mean? And you're growing. That way you have some people growing with you. So the 7, 8, 10 months that it takes you to finish, you've spent 7, 8, 10 months building relationships. So now, right. when you graduate, now you got paying clients for real rather than exactly. finishing the program. And now you got
and then trying to
months.
Do that. Exactly. And you're right. Nobody tells you to do that. Nobody really tells you to do that. Nope, not at all. Only
don't.
Thing that I will say, they really don't.
One of my biggest threats.
Yeah, I agree with you, because if anything, the only thing I could say that IPEC definitely did, and now, ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this, keep in mind that I did graduate from there like 10 years ago. So I don't,
oh, really?
You know, they may
wow.
have, yeah, it was a while. I tell you, my child's 10, so this time, okay, maybe it wasn't 10, maybe it was 9 years. He was just born, because I wrote the book when he was in vitro. When he was in the womb. So, you know, and I didn't start the program, you know, until after I had spoken to the woman and everything. So the book was done. So, all right, let's just say eight years to be safe. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are things that they may have changed or added to, you know, respond to the way that the coaching industry is now. But I know back then, you know, the extent to which they did that was that part of our training, because, you know, you need to have a certain amount of coaching hours to even get certified in the first place.
Exactly.
So they did recommend that we find clients and, you know, work with people, but never in a one-to-many model. And that's mm-hmm. very important, because once I learned that model,
yo,
girl,
the sky's the limit.
Exactly. Like, I don't even, I don't do a lot of one-on-ones now. The people who
I
do one-on-ones for.
I never could. I was like, I don't like this. And
yeah, no.
This is all that people, so I could wait to take my group coaching class. Because I was like,
when
did
we get
like,
to that point?
You said what?
You said, when are we getting to that point?
Seriously, because I'm like, this is draining for me. But nobody is talking about the draining. component. And I don't know, it's probably because I'm an extrovert, but I like groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and there's a different energy there.
I like five.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't matter the amount, it's the energy. There's something very palpable about a group dynamic. Even if it's on the phone, it's just something about, mm-hmm. you know, it's something to it. Even in the Bible. Right. And then mm-hmm. when they say where two or more are gathered.
Yes,
right.
Ma'am.
That's the reason. It really is there. You can feel it. And it's very potent, because also we learn and we grow from other people's knowing. And so when someone is in a group, and even if you're only talking to one person, you're talking to everybody. And so even though someone may not have even felt the courage to say something, they may find themselves, or they might even been there for that. They might have come there, you know, to work out something that they had with their dad, you know, let's just mm-hmm. say. And then somebody else is talking about a weight loss journey, but that's something that they were also struggling with, but they weren't coming there for that. But they got served in that way also. It's more holistic, because, you know, they're getting hit from all sides, because somebody's going to bring up something that's going to resonate with them that they didn't even think about or
absolutely.
Realize, you know, it's just
that they're about to hit.
Right.
I mean, the power of the group is, you're right. It is truly powerful, because somebody's
really
going to bring something up that you didn't realize applied to you, or that is about to apply to you.
Right. And soon as it comes, you're like, oh my goodness, we just spoke about this, you know, and you can tackle it now. I mean, like, granted, I do some one-on-ones, but literally those people who I do one-on-one for, they're already part of the Power Players Club. And they already have come to workshops and done work, because that's another thing that I learned too. And I'm sure you probably had this, like, with your training, when you have to work with different people. Some people will say that they're ready for training and they are not coachable at all. So now we have, you know, so we all wasting our time.
So,
okay.
Let's start with you doing some work on your own, self-guided. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because exactly what you said, that is one of the guiding reasons why I created this, because the people who desire coaching are frequently not ready for coaching. Like, they have literally done no self-work. Like, and it's not to say that there's something wrong with them, but where in life do we get told or get taught to focus on self and what that really looks like?
Exactly. We don't. We're very just not everyone, and hopefully not a lot of people who are already coaches, hopefully who went through an ICF program, maybe they aren't so much, but a lot of us aren't very introspective at all, because, you know, we just aren't taught that way, you know.
Well,
just,
I mean, and
not,
that's another one of my gripes with the program.
Even
so, like, my program was created by counselors who have become coaches, basically for counselors, therapists, and social workers who wanted to get into coaching, right?
Gotcha.
The Institute of Life Coach Training is primarily for counselors, therapists, and social workers. Even in my program, and I'm almost confident that this is the helping profession, period.
Right.
But in my program, the module that speaks to self-development, introspection, is dead last.
Mm.
You start with the coaching skills. You start, then you go into mocking, and then you look at introspection. Dead last.
Like, later.
No, yeah, like before you graduate, you look at yourself. And I think
the same
is true in social work, counseling, and therapy. I know when I was a massage therapist, I don't feel like we looked at ourselves at all.
Yeah,
but
probably not. And I mean, you could just tell just by listening to people. That's one of the things. And I'm about to do a communication workshop. Like, I'm not removing my focus, but putting my focus there, because it's so necessary. And some of the things that we are trained to be able to do as far as what, you know, excellent listening looks like, you can tell by listening to people how much introspection they actually are doing or have done. It's just, mm-hmm. it's very obvious because you, you know, as coaches, well, trained coaches, I should say, you know, you listen at a different level than mm-hmm. the majority of the world does. And mm-hmm. sometimes I forget that, you know, that's just like a natural thing at this point, and everybody mm-hmm. doesn't operate at that level. And it's okay. It's just that it's something that can be enhanced and would be greatly invited. You know, yeah. if you have a better way to Absolutely. Put it, you know, Absolutely. And then, but the, and that's one thing I will say about IPEC. The whole thing is centered around you looking at yourself as you look at your client, which is why I like that we had the in-person modules, because that's what we were doing with each other, mm-hmm. you know, so you didn't have a choice but to look at yourself, because, you know, even as we're practicing, we had, you know, certain things that we had to do first that was, you know, to clear ourselves. But then we also had to do it with each other, because that was the yeah. point of having the in-person part. Mm-hmm. Right. But in person, because we still carried it on. Like I said, we had the phone and all that stuff. But it's just, like I said, it's the same thing. It's something that happens when you're in a group, and it's something that happens when it's a focused energy inside of a group that really brings that out. And it's really very good in person. On the phone is awesome if you can't do it in person, but it's just something about doing like in-person groups. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. So let me ask you this. So you mentioned the Power Players Club. What's that?
The Power Players Club is the premier coaching and empowerment club for entrepreneurs and professionals like us. And like I said, originally it did start off as a more local club in New York, because I'm from New York. And basically what made us unique, and I'm really still always constantly trying to figure out how to replicate that with having people involved who are not in New York. But what we would do is our networking events weren't just aren't just, you know, networking events. It's fun. It's playing, you know, because we all power players. So we're learning how to be powerful in our lives. And we're using the 5 power principles that I say everyone needs to know to be powerful in the game of life. You need to know them. And a lot of them we do use on a regular basis, but we don't realize that we do. So we can't replicate it in places in our lives where we feel stuck. You know, so I train those principles in whatever we're talking about at that time, but they always come up because they're universal principles. But we also play, because one of the principles is relating to the world with gratitude. And a lot of that has to do with being open and free and being able to play and have fun, because you open yourself and you open the universe to be able to deliver what it is that you really want in your life. You know, so our networking events are really like playing. Like, we will go to Great Adventure and Coney Island and Dave and Buster's. That was just an interesting one. It's just I don't know if you have Dave and Buster's, but it's really just like a big arcade. Yeah.
Well, we have them in Chicago. I don't know if we have. I don't think they're already in Maryland.
Well, but you know what it is. But you know what it is,
yeah,
right?
It's an adult game. It's like an adult arcade.
Right, an adult arcade. So, you know, like, we would just do like different things around the city like that. But that was our networking outside of the workshops where people would come. So a lot of the members really got to know each other. They got to really connect with each other. And then they created their own projects without me, you know. So, you know, which I appreciate that. I think that's really great to be able to be a catalyst for bringing people together. And then they just go out and, you know, create whatever they're going to create. But, you know, that was something that really I love about it being local. But mm-hmm. right now we're seeing how to get that same feeling with people who are not in New York, especially because I might be moving myself, so then I won't be in New York. So that's that's a big thing.
Yeah. So what's next? What are you most excited about in the coming year?
Well, I definitely am most excited about moving. My goal, now I'm saying this is my intention. My intention is to move to Atlanta, because I just really like the quality of life versus what I have here in New York for the amount of money I'm paying. But that being said, I am open to the fact that I might actually miraculously find my husband or slash soulmate in this year. And then if he doesn't want to leave, I would have to think about that, you know, but if none of that happens, we out, you know, but, that I'm mostly excited about, definitely excited about that. And like I said, I'm still definitely excited about figuring out how to keep the high touch value of the Power Players Club, but in its expanded form, because that's very important to me.
Got it. So where can we find you? Anyone who's looking for more information on the Power Players Club or on you?
Well, the easiest way is to just go to www.drakecleveland.com, because everything's there. You know, my Facebook is on there. My everything's on there. All the links to everything are on there. That's like information central. So, and it's easy, you know, drakecleveland.com. Or you can even just look up the Power Players Club. That'll help too. But Drake Cleveland, that's really the information central.
Got it. So one last question. Well, maybe two. I don't want to keep this longer. What's the best business advice you've ever gotten?
I have gotten so much. I have gotten so much. But the best business advice that I have gotten, I would say, is to start anyway. And that in and of itself can be a game changer for a lot of people. And I know it was for me, because I am naturally a perfectionist because I'm a Virgo. Even though I'm a Verbra because I'm at the end of Virgo, but I'm still very much like, I will be like, okay, well, this is not right, so I cannot put it out yet because this is not the way how it's supposed to be, or this looks crazy, or this sounds crazy, or maybe I don't want to do. Next thing you know, you don't talk yourself out of doing anything at all. And so that kind of ready, shoot, aim kind of philosophy has worked for me, in that, you know, I now feel like, you know, when I want to put something out, you know, I need the bare bones. Because the other thing is too, and I've learned this also the hard way, sometimes you'll put together a whole lot of good stuff, and then, but nobody wanted, because that's not right. It was great for me, but nobody else wanted that because I didn't ever ask my audience. I didn't know at the time, but, you know, like, I didn't ask. I wasn't going for what they wanted. I was thinking this is what they need. And then, you know, create all this stuff, and then nobody, it's like, really? No one? One person? You by yourself? That's it? You know, you feel some kind of way. So rather than doing that, you know, you can put it out and then see if people are interested in it, or better yet, you could even do a survey. You can do, you know, plenty of things, including the free workshops like we were just talking about. That's a good way of finding out people's interests. Because if people show up at your free workshop, you know they're at least interested in what you're talking about.
Right.
And you didn't spend any money, and you didn't spend a lot of time creating a product that is not going to work anyway. You know, so the cool thing that I learned as a trick to doing that is just to have basically the bare bones of it, and you sell it before you create it. It's a miracle. I'm telling you. I'm serious. It makes a big difference, because then you know, like, okay, if nobody's really going to buy it, why am I spending all my time putting it together? But if people are biting and they're like, yeah, this is what I want, then now you have a reason to create it, because you know that people actually want to consume it. So you save yourself a lot of time and a lot of stress.
You're right. I can dig it. I can dig it.
Exactly.
Last question for sure. What's your favorite song right now?
Oh, my favorite song. Oh, no, girl. You can't ask me one song? Just one?
First one that comes to mind.
The first song that comes to mind. You be laughing. But it's In Common by Alicia Keys. I love that song. Okay. And
I know that one, but I'll check it out.
Oh, girl, you better go on YouTube. Go on YouTube. I mean, she's not even talking about, really, all she's talking about is that it's kind of deep because, you know, she's talking about this person that she has a lot in common with that she was kind of dating or seeing, and she's really attracted to them because they have a lot in common. But, you know, she also is like, you know, something must be wrong with you because stuff is wrong with me. So something got to be wrong with you if you like me. Something like that. But I really like it for the beat. And like I said, I'm a dance teacher, so I'm choreographing a lot. And that one caught my attention because of it has a lot of complex, you know, different like sounds and tones and rhythms to it, like all in one song. So it's like, yes. Oh, man, it's like a smorgasbord for a dancer, for a choreographer.
I love it. Yes, I love it.
So
I'm definitely gonna check it out. I think I see
you again. Yes, girl. You know, this is that's my passion outside of coaching. If I'm not coaching, I'm dancing or acting or singing something.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Well, again, I thank you for coming on to the show. We're gonna have to stay connected because I've got some projects. You know, especially since I somehow forgot that you're an ICF trained coach. Now we can create our own training program.
Okay. Shoot.
And fill in all those blanks.
Exactly. Yeah, we could do that, girl.
Yes, it's important. I have a program for our community because I want to increase the number of coaches in Black community.
I agree.
I want everybody to be ICF trained so that at least you know what you're talking about.
Right. And we all have like a common language, a common way. So if I refer someone to you, I know pretty much what they're getting.
Exactly.
You know, outside of personality, but you know, the skill set, I know what they're getting, you know?
Yep.
And I agree with you. Like that's important.
Mm-hmm. Especially in urban communities. That's really my focus right now.
Yeah, and me too. And Squad of Power Players Club is for us. See, I said us, but I was hoping that you was going to know what I meant by us. I try to keep it politically correct because I actually write that on my... Okay, just checking.
I'm a part of the us. And
you part of the us.
My anybody who's listening is part of the us as well.
Exactly. See, I was trying to be nice, but you know...
If you have to ask, you're probably not part of the us, so...
Right, like, who's us? Like, well, I mean, and then I have a big picture of, like, the last class that we had when I had a big event, and they us, for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, ma'am. As always, I certainly appreciate you coming, and also all the listeners, as I always say, freedom acquires friends. So if Dre sounds like the kind of friend you're looking for, the Power Players Club sounds like it's right up your alley, make sure that you hit up her website, drecleveland.com, so you can get more information. Thank you again, Dre. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was definitely fun and a pleasure. And I look forward to next time.
This episode of the Freedom Friends Show is brought to you by the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge. If you're ready to take back your power and achieve all of your dreams and goals, then join the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge today. That's CoachYadamnSelf.com. CoachYadamnSelf.com.